So read that part again, the changing part.
Pertaining to or undergoing a metamorphosis, changeable in form.
You're changeable in form, so you're no longer carnal or selfish or thinking of yourself, but you're now metabolic. You've taken on the life. You've eaten the Lord and have drunken of him. You've been drinking from the river of life and also eating from the tree of life, the bread of life. And now you're a new creature. Amen? Doesn't the Bible say you're a new creature by eating and drinking the Lord? Okay, you're no longer selfish. You're no longer thinking of yourself, but your mind is concentrated on the Lord and the things that he has for you to do. You're concentrating on what would the Lord do for this person? What would the Lord do for a person in this particular case? How would I want some to be treated if I was in this position? Now, there's, some people ask for all different kind of things that I wouldn't expect for anybody to do for me. Like they ask for just ridiculous things. Some of them have asked for like a $250 for a guitar, or $350 or $500 for a guitar. And I told them no, because I know where I can get them for $99. And then with the case, it comes to about $150 instead of $250. And so that's what Neverdahl put on the list, was $250 for a guitar. And I got one from this guy, what's his name? Esteban. I mean, he's a terrific guitar player. And he manufactures these guitars that are pure wood and highly polished. And it's got his name. He's like made all kinds of albums. He's like a classical guitar player. And I got three of them and gave one of them to Tom Neverdahl, and then gave one out to the sisters that want to play guitar, and then also my boy loves to play guitar also. And so I ordered three more in case anyone else really wants to play the guitar for the Lord. Okay? Up on the platform. And I, at this time, also might add that if anyone can sing or play musical instruments, well then please get up on the platform and join in with everybody. And anyone that would prevent you from doing that is of the devil in the church. Because every time somebody would come in and they said, well, we can't play because we play drums. And there's already a drummer. Well, we've had as many as 10 drummers right up on the platform at the same time. And that music was fantastic. We've got it on the internet. People can listen to it. Amen?
Amen.
And we just didn't have enough drums, and one of them took a 2x4 and was beating on that with drumsticks. Amen? And it sounded great on record. I took them down to Capitol Records and recorded them. And we were even in a movie. What was the name of that? Journey Through the Past or something like that with, who was in that one? Huh? No. Peter Fonda was in it. It was a big movie, and our names, Tony Susilamo Foundation Orchestra and Choir, they had the Hallelujah Choir on there, and it was a bunch of hippies, and it sounded so good that Warner Brothers wanted to put it in the movies. Amen? And put it on an album, Warner Brothers Records. And then they had those big Warner Brothers trucks right out at our church. And a friend of mine from the recording industry, Neil Young, is the one that, and Jack Nitzsche, who did a lot of arranging for the Beatles. And they were friends of mine from the recording industry, and they got us the gig, so to speak, okay? But they loved it. And Wally Heider, who recorded me on a hit record, was the one that did the remote recording of it at the church up in Saugus. Okay, Warner Brothers truck, everything was up there. It was a big movie. And so everyone that can play anything, if you haven't got a drum, you get a 2x4 or something to pound on up there and get up there and let's go, okay? Because that's the way it really is. If you're in the Spirit, it's going to sound great. And, you know, everybody was in the Spirit. And I'm saying drink Christ, amen, and eat Christ, and you'll be in the Spirit. And, you know, playing on a 2x4 will sound good. If you haven't got a guitar, I just bought three more of them. They were only at $99 a piece. Okay? And they're great. Everyone says they're beautiful. They admire them. It's the same one that he plays on television. I think it's terrific, don't you?
Yeah.
So that was it on the metabolic. So it's a metamorphosis. You change from carnal, that which is carnal, Jesus told, well, that which is flesh, Jesus told Nicodemus, is flesh. And that which is spirit is spirit. So he said, you must be born again of the Spirit. And the only way we can be born again of the Spirit is to drink life and to eat life. And Jesus is that life. Amen?
Amen.
And then, when we have that life, we have to impart it unto others. We have to let the Lord, we have to, with the Lord, by the Spirit, impart it unto others. We have to have a burning desire to impart life unto others. You can't just say, well, Jesus is not doing it. Well, you're not doing it, okay? You have to be in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, the Lord will do it with you. Amen?
Yeah.
He says that we're yoke fellows with Him. Amen?
Yeah.
We work together. It's like two oxen. He's one and we're the other plowing down the field together, in case you didn't know that either. Okay? He says, now, I want you to work. But my work is easy and light because I'm there to help you. All right? Amen?
Amen.
It's easy and light. My work is like being concerned about others and not at all you. Well, that's something. I mean, I just have an itchy nose and I've got this kind of thing wrong with me and that kind of. I got all these things. Well, you know, if you'd be concerned about other people, you wouldn't even be thinking it. The Lord would take all the pain away from you because the comfort would be there and you wouldn't even feel it. You wouldn't feel anything, all right, when you're concerned about others. And that's what the whole gospel is about, is eating and drinking Christ and letting Him impart Himself and let Him show Himself, His death in you and His life. And you just keep saying it in every message. It's the same thing. And still some people can't catch that. They're ever learning, but never, ever able to come unto the knowledge of the truth of Christ. Christ is the truth. Can't come to the knowledge of life. Can't come to the knowledge of the way. They just got to just be concentrated on, am I doing all right? Got a guy calling from the nut house, another person. Well, I need some counseling. The man has been in the church for 34 years himself. I need counsel. He should be counseling others. Amen?
Amen?
What am I counseling him for? Because he never counsels to anybody else. Shouldn't be so worried about being counseled to. You should take what you know and counsel others. Shouldn't you?
Yeah.
And not only counsel them, but to show Christ in you. Because He's power and He's life. All power in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus, amen?
Amen?
And if He's in you, then you're more than conquerors to be able to do these things, to show yourself as a dead in Christ, and to show Christ's death in you, and to show His life in you. Then go ahead, what else?
The water pots and the water were worthless and void of any miracle.
Until Jesus came along and turned the water into wine. Well, there's no miracle in those pots. No matter how much you wash yourself in those pots, you could wash your hair and your feet and everything, and there's still nothing miraculous going to happen. You're just going to have a nice bath. But there's nothing changed inside. There's no life in you. But when Jesus came, He changed the water into life. Okay? The symbolism there is the wine is the life of God, life of God in Christ. Okay? If you want to receive that,
yes.
You think it's something else than that?
No.
Well, it isn't. Okay? And it isn't life for you. It's supposed to be death for you, and you're to bring life to others. If you start doing the work of the Lord like that, then the Lord, you don't have to worry about anything happening for you, because all things, the Lord will do everything for you. Because the Word of God has to live in you. He said, if your words live in me and I live in you, that's what abide means. Get the dictionary and look up the word abide, okay? If he lives in you and you live in him doing his work, then whatsoever you ask, it'll happen to you. And the reason so many people have got all these aches and pains and everything else, and the reason that people have so much, nothing, they just figure they're hurting all the time, is because he's not living in you, and he's not, you know, there's no life coming out of you. You're not concerned about ministering to others. And so there you're not of the Lord. The Lord does that. That's what the Lord does. That's what he does. And if he's not doing it in you, then you're not of him. Don't you get it? What do you think is just for adults? When the Lord told the prophet to go and tell the high priest, you know, something. Well, the little kid went and did it, didn't he?
Yes.
Didn't he, the Lord tell a little child, don't let anybody despise your youth?
Yes.
You do what I tell you. And the kid did it. It's so simple to do. Yeah, I've seen people that were hippies that were nice to one another and everything. I've seen nurses that were like so far more Christian-like and yet they weren't saved than people that claim to be Christians in the church. I mean, they're so tender towards people, and yet they're not saved. But this is for sure that if a person is saved, that they're preferring others before themselves. Have you found that? What were we looking for there?
Abide.
Okay, come here. And please read it.
To bear patiently.
To allow the word of the Lord to patiently continue on in his word. Okay, then what?
Submit to.
To submit to, in other words, to submit to his word, right?
Yes.
To do what his word says. Then what?
Tolerate.
To tolerate his reproof, his rebuke in the things that he tells you to do. You may be angry at somebody, but yet you have to let the Lord be to minister to them and to reprove and to rebuke and to minister to them. All right? And if they're doing things that are cause the Lord to be angry, then you have to demonstrate that. Okay, then what else?
To stand the consequences of.
That if the Lord stated that we have consequences, that everyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So that means that you have to stand those consequences, you have to receive those consequences, don't you? Okay, so that's living the life, in other words, is what I'm saying, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, then what else?
To answer for.
If you don't do what the Lord says, you have to answer for it. Isn't that what it says?
Yes.
Then what?
To suffer for.
The Lord says that we're to take up the cross and follow him. We have to deny ourselves. You have to suffer that. Okay? Then what?
Synonym, see reside.
See reside. You have to live in the persecution. You have to walk in the persecution. And though you may not feel like it, the Lord says that we're not to walk by feelings or by sight, but we're to follow his word, to be kind to one another. And when I'm asking somebody to read something about life, all these things pertain to life, don't they? Residing. I live in this house. I reside here. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, well, the Lord says if I reside in, my words reside in you, and you reside in me, okay? Then whatsoever you ask, you shall have it. Amen?
Amen.
So if you are suffering, in other words, you don't feel like talking to somebody, but the Lord says, get up and do it. Sometimes I ask the Lord, should I go over there and talk to that person? And he says, no, just ask what they want. And then they come and tell me what they want. And it's just nothing anyway. It's very simple for me. I said, well, just tell them this. All right? But at least I ask them what it is that their interest is. And most of the times they come and talk to myself. Okay, and then what else? If the Lord tells me to. Then pick up the word live, okay? Okay, here's some more regarding, I told him to look up life. Okay, now what does that mean?
To make one's abiding place or home.
Well, so life, as I said before, is this abide is life, and life is abiding, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says there?
Yes.
What is life? Read it again.
To make one's abiding place or home.
Okay, so the Lord's saying that if you abide or in my life, amen, and I abide in you, and he also says that I and my Father will come and live or abide in you, amen?
Amen.
And know you not that ye are the temple of God and you're not your own? Don't you know that the Lord is alive in you? And if he's alive in there, he doesn't want to be alive in a dead person, somebody that doesn't move, and groove. That is terrible to people. And you think that the Lord is not angry with people that don't move and that let baby Christians fall all over the place and that are evil to one another? The Lord's angry and so am I, all right? Because there's no life in you. The Lord's been feeding you and feeding you, and you're like trees that have been dunged and dunged over and over again, and there's no life in you. Okay, now keep reading it.
To dwell, reside.
To dwell inside of you is life. And to reside inside of you is life. To live in you, if God in Christ is living in you. It's the full Godhead, the triune Godhead is living in you. Then you have life. And the Lord proves that you have life. We know that we have life, that we have eternal life, because we keep God's commandments. We love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we prefer others before ourselves. And that is why you should know, if you are not doing those things, that you don't have God's life in Jesus and the Holy Spirit in you. Okay, now she has another dictionary over here about life being the same thing as residing, abiding. Go ahead, read it.
Act in accordance with, abide by the rules.
Okay, abide by the rules?
Yes.
Act in accordance with the Lord. In other words, he says, prefer others before yourself. So if you're going to act according to what he says, then you're going to prefer others before yourself, and you're going to put an X to yourself, across to it. It's not anything to smile about, because when you start doing it, then you won't be maybe smiling about it. You'll smile when you feel the presence of the Lord in you working, and you'll see other people's lives change around you. Because you're not just a stick in the mud like you are now. And then what is the next one?
Remain faithful to.
Yes, letting Christ abide in you or live in you is remaining faithful to him. That is, that you are faithful to keep the first commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all, A-L-L, your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength, A-L-L, all. That means 100%. And then also, to keep the second commandment, which was like unto the first, is to prefer your neighbor before yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself. And there's people that don't show one ounce of concern about their neighbor. They don't try to make things look nice in the church for them. The brother's dorm is a rotten, filthy mess. And a baby Christian comes in, and he's the one that's cleaning the place up, and the others don't lay a finger to it. And I'll tell you, Susie would put people out of the church if they didn't keep their places clean. And I've done that too. Don't let me hear of you letting the church properties and the outside or inside falling through themselves. Because we don't need any people that are not abiding in the Lord in this church. This isn't all about numbers of people. I live a Spartan And I've lived very Spartan life styles. And you will too. Because all of you, a lot of you are users. All you want is your teeth to be cleaned and your everything done for you. And I never ever hear from many of you, what can you do for somebody else? Or what can you do for the Lord? Then what?
To continue dwelling
in the Lord. To continue on. The Lord says, your soul will be saved if you continue doing the things that he says to do till the end. Okay? And I'm not an entertainment committee. I'm not trying to entertain anybody. And I certainly am not trying to win any popularity contest. I know how to do that. That's what politicians do. They shake hands and kiss people's babies and all kinds of stuff. I'm not into that. And I might forget a bunch of the kids' names, and that to most of the people in the world would be like a sin. I'm not a politician. I am good to them. I dispense life into them. And if that's not enough, if they expect me to remember their grandson or their granddaughter's names and all that, and, oh God, that's just so bad because you can't, you just go soak your head, because that isn't what it's all about, all right? Not for me. Then what?
Sustain.
To sustain the walk in the Lord until the end. Then what?
Endure.
And to endure hardness as a good soldier. It's hard for me to be forgiving or to be nice to people that are evil to me. That's what a lot of people say. In other words, after I've fed, clothed, housed, built housing for them, and bought lawnmowers for everything on the face of this earth to them, and then they are not at all appreciative, and they don't give God the glory, and they don't do anything for the Lord, I get very upset with people like that, okay? Because they're users, and they're self-centered, and they're worthless. And the Lord doesn't like them either. The Lord used the parable of a tree. He cursed a fig tree that didn't bear fruit. Even though the Lord tells you over and over again that the two most important commandments or the first and second, and you don't do it, that's just boring to you, and you'd rather pick your fingernails than to receive it into your heart. All you want is to be loved by some person, and you're not at all interested in being loved by the Lord. And believe me, he doesn't love you. He says he's angry with the sinners all day long. Amen?
Amen.
And he hates the workers of iniquity, those that refuse to do what he says. Then go ahead, keep going.
The water pots and the water were worthless and void of any miracle.
Right, just like a human being is worthless if they don't have the life, the wine of God in them. He says that he has the wine of the wrath of God to men. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord is blesses people, and he's angry with them also. He lets some go to heaven, and he goes, lets a lot of them go to hell. Because they send themselves there. Then what else?
The water pots and the water were worthless and void of any miracle. This is just one of the many dead practices of religion.
Right, or people that are trying to make a real spirit-filled church into a religion of just pampering grandchildren and grands instead of bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Your grandchild or my grandchild or my sons and my daughters are nobody special. They belong to God, okay? And if they don't receive the word of God, they're nothing special to me at all. All right? My wife, my brother, a fleshly brother, brothers are nothing to me if they're not servants of the Lord. The Lord said so. And if you don't believe him, then you're going to hell. If you don't believe that way, then you're going to hell too, okay? Everybody thinks their little darlings are the most important things in the world, and they're not. They're not yours. They all belong to the Lord, and he wants us to minister to everyone. And the Lord told me if I care about other people's children, he'll care about mine. All right? You're not to just care about your own. That is so disgusting when people do that to me. Lockie says, God, I really love the way that you reprove and rebuke your own children. He says, nobody does that. And the Bible says that you don't love your own children if you don't. All right? But a man that loves his child rebukes and reproves them betimes. Amen? And so I say that the grandparents and the adults, they don't care anything about their children or their grandchildren because they let them get away with murder. Okay, then what else?
Jesus changed the water into wine in these water pots.
He turned the water to wine. He changed the water to wine. And if you don't think that's a miracle, then you do it. Okay? You think that you're a miracle worker? Then do it. All right? I mean, change people's lives. I do it. I do that every day of my life. Now, why don't you? Because the baby Christians fall away in this church. I don't see any change in a lot of people. Okay, then what?
The wine was not for cleansing us outwardly, but it was for drinking.
Right, we don't wash ourselves in wine. The Lord is not concerned about us washing ourselves outwardly. That's nice because of the people that live around you, but that isn't going to change you inwardly whatsoever. Now, we don't wash ourselves with wine. We wash ourselves outwardly with water. But the Lord wants us to change inside. We're made out of the same thing that those stone water pots were made out of. We're made out of the dirt or the stones, the dust of the earth. And he wants to change that which is just mere water in people, which is just your temporal life. He wants to change that to immortal life, the wine of life, the champagne, the wine of life. That's a miracle. And you realize the miracle when you see a person with zeal, like Buster. Buster is like tearing Texarkana up with the Word of God. Now, he has the life in him. And it's easy for everybody to see. And he says he got it from the Messiah book and from the tracks and the tapes. He said, keep the tapes coming. And he likes to read the tracks all the time and listen to the messages, and he's on the phone all hours of the night with Tommy asking him questions about the tapes and everything and talking about them. That man has the life of God in him. Okay? That's zeal. I mean, you'd think that people would be zealous to have an immortal life, and anyone that isn't has to be worse than a squirrel. Now, he has life. Okay, then what?
We must forget about how we are outwardly and drink the Lord as our wine
of
life.
Everybody's concerned about what they are outwardly. You know, they got this and that with them. It's all right to care about your outside appearance, but it's not so much that you're going to forget about yourself inwardly. And you don't even have to think about yourself outwardly or inwardly. All you have to do is think about the Lord. And the Lord will take care of all the cleansing inwardly, won't he? He'll be the one that'll change you, that'll make you a metamorphosis. He'll change you. He'll give you the new life. All things will be new. You'll be a person that really is concerned about human souls instead of the way you are now, to where you don't care about anything except you and yours. And being a user rather than a giver. Then what?
We must forget about how we are outwardly and drink the Lord as our wine of life inwardly. It doesn't mean anything if we are clean and pure looking on the outside, if we are dead on the inside.
Yeah, there's no works, you're dead. If there's no works of the Lord, that means you're dead. You're spiritually dead. You have to be renewed daily. Now, learning daily, you could know, you could be clean outside, and you could know the Bible, but if you're dead inside, it don't count for eternal life. You would see, this is what separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. The lively ones from the dead. Then what?
Jesus came not to just clean us on the outside. He came for us to drink of him.
Yeah, he didn't come to clean us outside at all. If you're godly, then you'll take care of yourself. It doesn't take long to wash. Then what?
He turned the water into wine. He changed the religious outward cleansing ritual into the supernatural drinking element of life and life more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's life is a feast, not for purification for outward cleansing, but for inward supernatural drinking.
Yeah, not even cleansing. Because the Lord himself is clean, and if you're full of him as drink and food, you'll be clean, okay? The Lord will take care of that, right? You don't have to worry about getting clean. Just drink, and you'll be clean. You say, well, what about eat? We're talking about drinking in this message, okay? Don't worry, I'm the one that told you that you have to eat and drink him. Now you're going to turn around and tell me? Then what?
The inward drinking of God in Christ's life will more than take care of the cleansing.
Right, just drinking him and eating him will take care of the cleansing inside. So all you got to do is, not much, just eat and drink and then move. Be concerned. And I don't care how tired you are. If you're tired and somebody is pulling on you, then you have to take care of that. Right?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, what else?
Whatever we drink into us will take care of the cleansing. All that we drink into us of Christ will cleanse us, not on the outside, but from within. It is a kind of metabolic cleansing, a washing,
yeah,
a cleansing.
A metamorphosis, because instead of just being you, you'll take on the life of Christ. Christ will be, you'll be like Christ. And if that spirit isn't in you, the Lord says he'll not raise you from the dead on the last day, but you'll go straight to hell. Now, I'm just telling you, you know, cold turkey, okay? Is that the way you want it?
Yes.
Then what?
It is a kind of metabolic cleansing, a washing, a cleansing of life. This is not a cleansing in an outward way, but a metabolic cleansing from within us by the actual life of God in Christ.
By the actual, your life turning into the life of Christ, God in Christ, the triune Godhead. In other words, we are more than conquerors to be able to do whatever the Lord tells us to do, no matter how tired we are. Now, the Lord put me to the test on that several times, because I had, in prison, they give you little tiny pencils. They're about an inch and a half long, and they wear down fast. It's just pencils, and I can't see what I'm writing. And so he'd wake me up in the middle of the night, or I'd be so tired and I'd want to go to sleep. And I just could hardly hold up my head. And he'd say, write. I said, okay. So I grabbed the pencil. I didn't say, it's not convenient for me, Lord, to write. How could you be so crazy as to tell me to write something when all I have is an inch and a half pencil and I can't read it? And there's no light. All the lights are out in the cells. But there's a window there, and there was a light coming from one of the arc lights up on the tower where they have guns up there pointed at people. And so I put the paper up there, and I started writing with that little inch-and-a-half pencil, as tired as I was, and I kept going. If you don't have that kind of obedience in you, you're not going to heaven. I'm blind, and I was in the dark, and I had an inch-and-a-half pencil. And the Lord told me to get up. Some of you people, like, I've heard Deckers, you know, they turn their phone off at certain times. That man can't go to heaven if he doesn't stop being himself. There has to be a metamorphosis in him. And his children have all, they need to be saved. And so does he. He needs to be Christ instead of himself. And anyone, I mean, and I've been put through a lot of tests like that, where you'd be so tired, and the Lord would say, get up. But I had 24 hours, didn't sleep for 24 hours, or tonight I didn't sleep for 28 hours. And Lord, I'm so tired, I don't know if I'm going to answer them correctly. Then get in the Spirit, okay? I'm in the Spirit now. Okay, go to the phone and talk. Let me talk through you. And if you're not willing to be crucified like that, you're not going to heaven. You're just interested in your sleep. And as soon as I do that, the Lord gives me the greatest peace on me and blesses me. And we could be needing finances or something like that, or I could be needing a move from the Lord in one way or the other, and all of a sudden it happens. Because I let him abide in me. I let him live. And I let him judge me. Get up. I don't want to be saying to the Lord, you're telling me to do something that's impossible. How could God, who doesn't make mistakes, be telling you to do something impossible? What kind of an evil weasel would you be to deny the Lord when he's telling you to do something? That's what it means to carry the cross. Okay, then what?
We are just like the six water pots, because man was made on the sixth day, Genesis 1:26-31. The number six represents man. Our need is only the wine, the life of God in Jesus.
Which is the same as the water and the tree of life, and the life-giving spirit, and the resurrection and the life, and the streams of life, and the fountain of life, and the river of life. All those things are the same. Then what else?
Our need is only the wine, the life of God in Jesus, the quickening spirit, the life-giving spirit. Our only need is life.
Right. What else do you need? If you have life, you don't need anything else, do you? No. If you got eternal life, immortal life, is there anything else you need?
No.
No. If you got the bread of life, right, and the water of life, and the wine of life, it's all the same, right? Mm-hmm. If you got Jesus, if you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you've got it. Okay? So you don't have to think of very many things, do you?
No.
Because I can say I can definitely do 1,000 messages or thousands of them on the same subject, and I will, Lord willing, and it'll all have the same conclusion, all right? Then what?
Don't try to improve yourself the way the people of the world try to.
No, what do you try to improve yourself? You can't do anything without the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Yourself. Self. Try to improve self. The Lord doesn't want an improvement of you. He wants you on the altar, a heap of ashes. Amen?
Amen.
So don't try to improve your stinking self. Okay, then what?
Don't try to improve yourself the way the people of the world try to improve themselves, or correct ourselves the way they do.
Oh, you're going to correct yourself, your stinking self. No, just drink the Lord, okay? That's all he wants you to do, because the Lord will take care of yourself. He'll mortify you. He'll put you to death. And that's what we need to do, is to be... ourselves need to be just mortified, put to death. We need to let him live in us. We need to not be mortals anymore, but to be immortal. Amen?
Amen.
To be changed from a carnal man to a spiritual man. Amen?
Amen.
To do the things the Lord says to do. To be concerned about someone else and get your eyes off of your stinking self. Because what fun is it to watch? If you were really spiritual, all you are is a heap of ashes. You want to look at a heap of ashes all the time? It's not very interesting, is it? Okay, well, there's something better to do than to look at yourself. And if you're looking at yourself, then you're looking at the devil. Okay? How do you like that? Okay, then what?
Don't try to improve yourself the way the people of the world try to improve themselves, or correct ourselves the way they do, or
no,
better.
No, no, the Lord is all you need. Amen?
Amen.
And if you've got him, he's correct. Right? You're never going to be correct. You're just supposed to be a heap of ashes and let him, the correct one, do it all. Amen?
Amen.
And you just tag along, you know, as a fellow yoke person. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Or better yourself the way they
do. Are you going to better yourself? If you try to better yourself, you're not going into the kingdom of heaven. You're supposed to just... An ox thinks he's better off, you know, when he's alive and in his stall. But when his master takes him for a sin offering, he chops his neck off. He doesn't make him better. And then he skins him and guts him and puts him up on the altar and burns him into a heap of ashes. Is that bettering the ox? In the eyes of the Lord it is, amen? Because he's a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. And that's the way we are. We need to be mortified, and then we're pleasing to the Lord, because when he calls upon us to write, read, preach, that he wants to minister through you, in and through you, well, then you're ready, Teddy. Okay? He says to be instant in season and out of season. Man, it's out of season when I'm tired and I want to go to bed. Amen? And I'm dragging anyway in the first place. I'm just about like having to hold my head up. But the Lord says, no, I want you to go over your new track, your new message on the newsletter now, right after this. Well, then, what am I going to say? Well, Lord, I'm just too tired to do that. And I had other things planned. No, I can't do that.
When you try these things, you are actually trying to cleanse or purify yourself.
Yeah, you're going to purify yourself. You can't purify yourself. Only the blood of Jesus taketh away the sins of the world, and only when we drink and eat him are we pure. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be perfect, that is, perfectly filled with the Lord. Our life has to be his, because our life is ourselves are so imperfect that there's no way that we can get into heaven with our life. Our life has to be gone, and it has to be replaced or metamorphosized by the life of Christ in us. And if he is in us, then we're going to be kind to one another. Amen?
Amen.
Preferring others before ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Your need is not cleansing water, but wine to drink.
Yeah, you don't need to take a bath, okay? Now, maybe you do have to take a bath, but that's not going to save your life, okay? Sometimes I can tell that people need to take a bath, all right? But that isn't your real need, amen? The main need we have is Christ, amen? Go ahead, read that.
Your need is not cleansing water, but wine to drink. That is the life of Jesus. The whole message of John chapter 2 is the eating and drinking of the Lord.
Okay, and then chapter 3 is we go into another message on life. We've got Nicodemus to deal with here. We've got the woman at the well. We've got chapter 3 and 4. And where he's talking about drinking there, amen?
Amen.
And he's talking about that we must be born again of the Spirit, which is the water of life, amen, to Nicodemus.
Amen.
We have to be born anew. Well, we'll get into that later. I didn't realize that this tape would be this long before I started, but it is. And so God bless you. And let's just drink Christ and eat Christ and let him do his work in you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord.